So here we go into the book room.
History teacher Greg Albers stands inside a room that doesn't get many visitors these days. The shelves are lined with history textbooks. Albers picks one up.
It's hardly ever used anymore. And this is relatively new, but it's a really nice book. But it's kind of, students really get turned off when you start to say, open your books.
But that doesn't mean students aren't learning history. They're just doing it in a different way. Instead of memorizing names and dates, students are encouraged to come up with questions about a given historical event or figure, and then try to answer them using a variety of source materials found online. Professor and historian Ruth Sandwell is a pioneer of this approach.
Frankly, the same thing happened in science education about a generation or two ago when teachers realized that if you're going to teach science, it's not really enough just to memorize the, you know, plant names and processes of the digestive system. Or there's actually something called a scientific method. So the same thing, like in a way, what's happening to history education now is an equivalent kind of revolution.
And just as science students do laboratory work, history students can also learn what it's like to pursue an historical investigation. To do that, Sandwell created a series of online exercises called The Great Unsolved Mysteries in Canadian History.
In Cairo, the end of a diplomatic career, the Canadian ambassador to Egypt, Herbert Norman, fell to his death from the seventh floor of a building near his home.
That's the introduction to a Cold War lesson that investigates the suicide of Herbert Norman. Since his death in 1957, all kinds of letters and government documents came to light that suggest he had communist leanings. And it's all there, brought together on a single website that students navigate to draw their own conclusions about what really happened.
It's quite remarkable to see kids working with these mysteries. I mean, I've had students who are working on these come to me and say, well, you mean you actually want to know what I think about this? And then they often say, what is the answer? And we always say, I don't know, give me a good argument. It's a transformative experience for a lot of them to be given that kind of permission.
And through it all, students absorb key historical information. Jill Collier says they're also far more likely to retain it. She's the national coordinator of the Historical Thinking Project. It's a federal government program aimed at reforming history curriculums across the country. She says the World Wide Web has mostly replaced the need to memorize dates and names with another far greater challenge for students.
They really are exposed to so much information, and it really, really is difficult to make sense of that information unless you have a conceptual framework that allows you to sort of ask particular questions, think hard about sourcing and accuracy and quality of evidence. So I think really for 21st century, these are skills that kids need.
Heritage Canada has given Collier a 3-year mandate to infuse the methods of historical thinking into as many schools as she can. And meanwhile, many teachers, such as Greg Albers, are adopting the concepts all on their own, relying more on online investigation and slowly closing the book on the history textbook.
We haven't used these in a few years. That one we should probably call, so we don't use a lot of books.
For CBC Radio, I'm Blair Sanderson.